Get energized and excited to tell the world, hey, you can call me Catholic. Live from the Christ Cathedral Campus in Garden Grove, California, EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network and Orange County Catholic Radio present Call Me Catholic with Peggy Normanton.
Whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is gracious, if there is any excellence and if there is anything worthy of praise, look hard for those qualities and then think about them. St. Paul's advice to the Philippians. Well, that means he's talking to us too, because it is Holy Scripture. He's telling us to make a deliberate choice to seek out the goodness. Okay, let's try. That's what we attempt to do on Call Me Catholic every week. I am Peggy Normanton, and you have arrived at Call Me Catholic, an hour of conversation intended to affirm, explore, and celebrate our Catholic identity in these modern troubled times, so we can wake up and say to the world, oh yeah, you can call me Catholic. And some weeks it's easier than others. Right, Jimmy G?
Hey, Peggy. Same old, same old.
Same old, same old. Say, everybody say hi to my engineer and chief fact checker, Jimmy G. He gets us on the air every week.
I can see the multitudes waving at me right now. It's humbling.
Well, they can see us if they choose to, because we are actually on a Facebook live stream. So if you are in a very relaxed mode and near your computer, you might go to your computer, go to Facebook.com/callmecatholic. And Marvelous Matt, our studio assistant, has put up a link. And it will take you right into our studio.
That's amazing.
And you can check us out. Yeah, it's kind of fun. We got cameras in here. We got good-looking guests in here. You can see what's going on in our studio.
They didn't have this when I started in
radio. It's all checks and balances. It's good accountability,
Jimmy G. Not when I started in radio. You couldn't see me.
Wait, back in 05 or something?
It was years ago.
Okay, Call Me Catholic is coming to you live from high atop the Tower of Hope on the quite dramatic Christ Cathedral campus in Orange County, California. We are the Diocese of Orange within the Catholic Church in America. Now, 3.5 years ago, when I was invited to originate and host a radio show for a Catholic audience, I quite deliberately chose the name Call Me Catholic, because I felt modern Catholics were sort of shunning their brand. They'd become very self-conscious, almost embarrassed about labeling themselves a Catholic unnecessarily. And I wanted to develop program content that affirmed a Catholic identity, celebrated it, so we could find each other in the world and build more solidarity amongst ourselves and find and really make a statement, send a statement to the world that said we're proud of our faith and our spiritual heritage.
Right.
And I credited a lot. At that time, I credited a lot of the lukewarm, sort of mediocre, anonymous modern Catholics out there to be a result of the clerical scandals of 2002, the spotlight chapter in our history. And at that time, I remember being shocked and horrified and ashamed by the exposure of child abuse among the clergy. But I also remember a lot of conversation that would circle back around to the fact that, as heinous as those crimes were, it represented a very small, if abhorrent, fraction of the priesthood who were perpetrating the evil. And they were being rooted out. The rules put in place to protect the innocents within the church were being installed, and we were going to move on. I believed it, and I defended the church often, often with those arguments. I will say that there was one thing that I was never able to defend or explain to critics, was how or why Cardinal Law, who at that time was over the Archdiocese of Boston during the scandals, how he, in the wake of all that, got transferred to such a swanky post as the parish of Santa Maria Maggiore in Rome. Beautiful, beautiful, very important basilica there. Some would say one of the most important churches there. So Cardinal Law got assigned there. Now, he passed away last year, but that's one detail that always nagged at me and has kind of bubbled back up into my consciousness in the wake of this latest absolutely unbearable news revealed by the Pennsylvania grand jury this last week. On the heels of the terrible stuff about files on McCarrick, the former Cardinal McCarrick. So the grand jury report from Pennsylvania opens with the words, "You need to hear this." And the 900 or so pages of names and incidents and pretty much unthinkable testimony that followed is so searing and so sickening that every American Catholic should be literally shaking with revulsion and shame and fury. Now, the Vatican released a statement saying that Pope Francis said, his spokesman said on his behalf, he is on the side of the victims. He is on the side of the victims. That's not enough. That's just not enough. We have to stand in for the victims. We have to literally take their place like any mother or father would. No, it's not enough just to say, I'm on their side. No, we've got to take their place and meet these predators face to face and root them out of our church. Lay faithful, I guess it's up to us. Yes, we need to hear this and comprehend with eyes wide open what it means. What it means when a man like Cardinal McCarrick could behave as he did, treat seminarians as he did, and still rise through the ranks of our American Catholic Church to assume a position of so much influence and worldly prestige as he did. What does that mean? Well, that means he has put a legacy in place. Like-minded priests and bishops that he appointed are at work in the church today. That's not something that happened in the past. That's something that started in the past. Yes, we need to hear this and talk about it and bring it into the light so that it can no longer operate in darkness. That's evil, you know, like vampires. Evil hates the light.
Right.
It flourishes in darkness. So talk about it and make no excuses for what has been revealed to us and what will, you know, most likely continue to be revealed to us, I'm sorry to say. You may say, you know, and I understand this, I'm not comfortable talking about this. I like my priest. I like my bishop. I don't want to make them feel like I'm indicting them. I get it. But don't worry, the good ones won't squirm. They have nothing to hide, nothing to fear. You know, and this is exactly how it's gotten to this point. Priests didn't want to talk about it. They didn't want to hurt their fellow priests. They didn't want to, say, judge anybody. And so, you know, parents didn't want to confront priests about, you know, what they thought their child had experienced.
Right.
That was their, that was their authority, their Catholic authority figure, and they felt that was undermining the church. Hmm. Well, that's all over. We're talking about it. Now, the more I read about Pope Benedict the 16th, the more I believe him to be a prophet. This is what he said in 1969 when he was Father Ratzinger. This is a quote. From the crisis of today, the church of tomorrow will emerge, a church that has lost much. She will become small and will have to start afresh, more or less, from the beginning. She will no longer be able to inhabit many of the edifices she built in prosperity. This is just a small excerpt from what is really, truly prophetic. Mm. So, gird your loins, fellow Catholics. We are in for a gritty battle to rebuild and save our American Catholic Church. And what do we as lay faithful do? Certainly not leave the church. Do not leave the church. Do not abandon your faith. Don't let these men take your faith away from you, because then their evil has achieved its end.
Mm.
Now, here's what we do. Okay, we pray. That's what everybody says. We pray. Sure. That's how we can attempt to restore our honor to God's church, implore God's mercy. And God will know where we stand through our prayers. But how do we let the bishops know where we stand? Now, with God's grace, they will receive, you know, certain graces themselves if our prayers are fervent enough, but they can't hear our prayers. Now, you know what language that they do understand, though? They understand money, the language of money.
Mm.
I'm just saying, be very careful how you tithe, friends. Certainly give to the causes the church and scripture has taught you to support: the homeless, the hungry, the disenfranchised, the lonely, the elderly, the unborn, and even EWTN.
That's
EWTN
right.
EWTN has no scandals.
That's right.
No, and nobody lives pretentiously in EWTN. Everybody lives very modestly. And even to religious orders in the country to whom you have a devotion. There's an order of cloistered nuns up in Tehachapi, California, the Norbertine Sisters. They do nothing but pray, and they live from hand to mouth. So, yes, support orders like that. But money that goes into a collection basket in your parish is disseminated through a lot of church administrative channels that need to get lean. As Benedict said, we need to get small again. Nobody's going to starve here, but we need to choke off some of the funds that are supporting clergy lifestyles and habits that are not in the tradition of the apostles. So you who run charitable foundations know that excess funds rarely yield virtue. Okay. So you want to send a message to the bishops in the United States. That's how you do it. Be careful of how you give to the collection basket. Now, that's not going to make me very popular in parishes, especially my own parish across America. But we're not in a popularity contest anymore. Well, as brutal as this news is to us, there is really nothing new under the sun. Pope St. Gregory the Great, who was one of our early church popes, said, "It is better that scandals arise than truth be suppressed." Amen. Now, lest you think I'm being completely cynical and fatalistic this morning, I am going to introduce you in a minute to two guests who will give you the hope we are all seeking in our church today Andrew Reznor and Youssef Farfan are two young men about to enter the seminary in just a couple of weeks. I was able to secure them for a conversation in the studio just before they entered the Norbertine Seminary at St. Michael's Abbey in Orange County. One of these men I have known most of his life. Both of them will share their vocation story, how they came to this moment in their young lives, and what they expect from their future vocation, from their future ministry. And since we're talking about the priesthood today, our Call Me Catholic Countdown will be five terms that are often misunderstood regarding religious life in the Catholic Church. Pretty straightforward. Okay, I'm calm. I'm bringing it all down now, Jimmy G.
I was going to say, you've had several mic drop moments this morning. Drop that mic.
Okay. Yeah, we're getting back to facts now. Okay, here we go. The Call Me Catholic Countdown of the week.
The Call Me Catholic Countdown.
Is that to lower my blood pressure?
Well, yeah, I guess so.
Okay, so number five. What's the difference between a religious priest and a diocesan priest? Very easy. A diocesan priest ordinarily serves the church within a certain geographic area called a diocese. He serves the people as a parish priest. He might serve in hospitals or even schools, but he is affiliated with a region of the country. Now, a religious priest is a member of a religious congregation, like the Jesuits or the Benedictines. It goes beyond the geographic limits of any diocese. If you are a Jesuit, you're a Jesuit across internationally, okay? A religious priest seeks to live a life of poverty, celibacy, and obedience within a community of men. And diocesan priests do not take those vows. Mm. Okay. What is the difference between, number four, what is the difference between a brother and a priest? A brother, if you hear someone say, oh, this is Brother Jim. Mm-hmm. A brother is a layman who commits himself to Christ by the vows of poverty, celibacy, and obedience, the same as any other religious priest. He usually lives within a religious community and works in a ministry that uses his talents and gifts. Maybe he's good at carpentry. He might be a teacher, an electrician, a cook. He tries to live his faith by being a brother to others, but he's not an ordained priest.
Aren't they in many cases on their way to becoming priests if you're a brother?
They might be, but I mean, I think being a brother is also an end in itself. Mm. It's a lifestyle within a religious community.
Okay.
But you do not have holy orders. Mm. Okay. So a priest is ordained for the distinctive role as a minister of the sacraments. He celebrates the Eucharist and witnesses marriages, confesses sins, baptizes babies, et cetera, et cetera. So he's involved in a number of different sort of, ministries that are ordained just for his priesthood. Okay. Number three. What's the difference between a nun and a sister? Okay, now although these people use these terms interchangeably, I'm very guilty of that. A sister is a woman who belongs to an apostolic or active religious order that is dedicated to ministries, maybe like education or justice, healthcare, parish work, that kind of thing. By contrast, a nun belongs to a contemplative monastery where most of her day is dedicated to prayer for the good of the world. Like I referenced the Norbertine cloistered sister nuns in Tehachapi, California. Mm. Okay. Number two, how are religious orders different one from another? Okay, so the Benedictines versus the Jesuits or the Norbertines versus the Servites. Okay, so each religious order or congregation has a charism or a gift given for the service of the church, and that helps them focus on the mission members hope to accomplish in community. Some of them might be dedicated to education. Others might be dedicated to social justice. Others might be dedicated to serving the homeless.
This should be a religious order for radio hosts. And you can start it.
No, you start it.
Okay.
I'll be your first member.
I'll check facts.
Okay. You know, many congregations are very like-minded or have similar ministries, but each is distinct from one another, and they can tell you that in their charter. Okay? And there are new communities being formed all the time, but they have to go through a process, a protocol that goes all the way up to the Vatican. Okay. Now, number one question people ask, how long does it take to become a priest? You know what? I'm going to let our guests today answer that question. Youssef Farfan and Andrew Reznor are a week away from entering the seminary at St. Michael's Abbey here in Orange County, and you better believe they know exactly how many years it will take until they become a priest. So stay with us for that conversation. I'm Peggy Normandin, and you're listening to Call Me Catholic on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Exploring the perils and blessings of embracing a Catholic identity. This is Call Me Catholic with Peggy Normandin.
Well, good day, friends. And in case I don't see you, good afternoon, good evening, and good night. Where is that from, Jimmy G? What line? The Truman Show.
Jim Carrey. I don't know.
It's a good movie. The Truman Show, filmed in Seaside, Florida.
I'll write that down.
Very cool. Thank you. I am Peggy Normandin, your host for this chatty hour on Call Me Catholic. And boy, have we got perfect guests for today's conversation. Yes, we American Catholics are rightfully wrathful about the grim and grave findings put forth in a 900-plus page document presented by the Pennsylvania grand jury this week. I already gave you an earful on my thoughts regarding that. Now I offer you a promising glimpse into the future. Here in the studio with me are two bright and earnest young millennial men about to enter the seminary at St. Michael's Abbey in Orange County, California. This is the Norbertine Order of Priests, a very well-respected order with a great presence here in Southern California. Youssef Farfan and Andrew Reznor, welcome to Call Me Catholic.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Peggy.
This is so cool to have these guys here, huh?
They got right up to the mics. I didn't have to give them any hand signals.
And they gave, exactly. And you know what's cool? They gave me kind of a thumbs up after that intro. That was pretty rough to bring a couple of prospective priests in for that conversation. But
yes.
You're good with that, huh?
Yeah, spoke a lot of truth for sure. And I like it. Very strategic and solid.
Well, Youssef, you mentioned actually it before the show that you belong to sort of a study group and you brought in some articles to make sure that everybody knew exactly what was happening, what had been revealed this week.
Yeah, it was our young adult group. And I shortly before our meeting that we do weekly, somebody posted in our group chat the article from New York Times that had the
grim
lot of
details.
Yeah, definitely. It was awful. But I read it and then I was like, I think that everyone should know exactly what we're dealing with. The extent of how horribly wrong some of those things were and the details. So when we got there, I read the article out loud to everyone and we had a nice big group there. And so it was tough to do.
Thank you, though. This is how I want our priests to behave. So, you know, you're not even in the seminary yet and you've assumed the role with great strength. And I appreciate that. So, Youssef, I'm going to start with you. Andrew, your turn will come. But I have known you most of your life.
Mm-hmm.
Is that correct?
That's definitely true. Fact.
Yes, Senator, I believe you.
The truth comes out.
Yeah, no, I have. Youssef and my youngest son, Charlie, were, best friends in grammar school and through high school, good friends. And then they went off to different colleges and pursued similar careers. Very good friends to this day. When you were a little boy, did you ever think about becoming a priest?
I forget. I don't have a great memory, but I do remember that when I was really little, I used to pray rosaries at night. Like, my parents taught me to do that. But when I was also not very little, I think I steered away from there pretty quickly. So I don't think I was ever like, oh yes, I want to be a priest.
Well, and let me tell you, listeners, Youssef is no wilting wallflower. This guy is the life of the party. Let me tell you, he really is. He's the guy you always wanted to have at your house because he was full of fun conversation. Everybody loved Youssef. And, you know, he was a jokester. He was a great conversationalist, great athlete, you know, tons of energy, huge appetite, by the way. Never could put enough food on the table for Youssef. So it was fabulously surprising to hear that you were discerning a vocation last year.
Thank you. And also you throw great parties, by the way, so it made it easy to.
Don't tell anybody. Don't give away my address. So at what point, Youssef, did this become something that you realized you needed to discern and address in your life?
I had my comeback to the faith when I was 24, 25, around there. And I had a pretty intense comeback. And I was always, I think in my life, I was always trying to do whatever I was doing. I was trying to do it to the max.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
I wanted to be, when I was little, I wanted to be in the military, and I heard about Navy SEALs. They were the top dogs. I was like, oh, I want to be a Navy mm-hmm. SEAL. But my body's way too weak to be a Navy SEAL, which is unfortunate. So then when I got into my faith, I realized that the priesthood is, I think, a very serious call to following the life of Christ. And so when I realized that, I was like, and I was still single at the time and, available for priesthood, so.
Available for girls too, though. I mean, you know, yeah. I mean, you were available.
Yeah. Yeah,
yes, but that's true that you had not committed to anything yet. So, so did it surprise you? Did it come in a moment where you thought, wait, can I really be discerning the priesthood?
Yeah, I guess because I had done a lot of really silly things in my life. I was I kind of had this idea that you had to be of a certain, you had to be a very good person, very pure, to be a priest. But when I did my vocational discernment retreat at St. Michael's Abbey, I was talking to one of the priests and he was like, yeah, one thing you should never think is that, oh, I'm not pure enough to be a priest or something like that, because God's grace really can go deep with people.
Purify.
Yes, yes, definitely. And if you have the pure desire for Christ, he'll make things happen.
So it was about, what, a year between the time the thought first came into your consciousness and the time you actively went to the Abbey and said, I would like to have a discernment retreat?
Yeah, I think so. Roughly like a year and a half or so.
Did you ever push the idea out and think, no, this can't be for me?
Early on, I would visit St. Michael's Abbey. Thanks to Andrew. He took me to visit St. Michael's Abbey early on when I was coming back to the faith. And I would see the priests doing their chanting of the prayers late at night during the holy hour. And I was like, whoa, that's really intense. I wonder if that, you know.
It speaks to you. It's that beautiful. Okay, now I'm going to switch the spotlight over to Andrew Reznor, who you guys knew each other in high school, right? You both went to Modern Day High School.
Yeah, we ran cross country together.
Oh, you ran cross country together. Okay, great. So now you're running into the priesthood together.
Yeah.
But so, Andrew, what is your discernment story? Is this something that came to you later in life? I know you went to Chapman University, excellent local private school here.
Yeah, I think when I was really young, I had the idea of joining the priesthood, but I always rejected it because I wanted to be married and have kids and the whole Catholic shebang, you know. But when I graduated college, I think I started – took me about a year, and I started by chance praying the rosary, and that's when it really kind of came and hit me again, the call to priesthood. And until that point, I was like seriously rejecting it, telling God I didn't want to do it.
So you were fighting it.
I was fighting it forever. Yeah. And then through the rosary, I think I was brought back, and Our Lady made it easy for me. So.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah.
So, Andrew, when you are going through this thought process, this spiritual thought process, who was the first person? I mean, there's a lot of difference between it going on in your head and your heart and your soul than when you vocalize it for the first time, when you actually say to someone, you know, I'm thinking that maybe I should discern a vocation in the priesthood. Do you remember who the first person you told that to was?
Yeah, I told my mom, actually, because there was no one else to talk to about it, because I didn't want to share that with anybody, you know, because I thought I was crazy. And that was when I was like in sixth grade. And then
how did she respond to that?
She was super supportive, but I think one thing that was probably the most helpful was that, I mean, my family's really Catholic. We were brought up like very Catholic, praying together and stuff. And I think the most helpful thing she did was not push me in the direction of the priesthood or push me in the direction of getting married or like any particular vocation. She always gave me the freedom to choose that. Where I've heard like some people either push their kids to marriage or to priesthood, and that would be really difficult, I think. So she always allowed me that freedom, and I know she always kept me in her prayers, so... That was the best support I could have had.
How many brothers and sisters do you have?
Three younger sisters.
Okay. Because, you know, it's interesting, in the olden, really Catholic days, the olden days of really Catholic lives, you know, people had big families, so it wasn't unusual for one of them to say, or for a parent to think, okay, which one of you is going into the religious life? But with smaller families, it is more of a sacrifice for a parent to know that one of their children is going into they're going to kind of lose one of their children into the priesthood or into the convent. So it takes a certain generosity of heart for a parent to sort of welcome that news. Did you who was the first person you told, Youssef?
I think I probably called Andrew and I was like, hey, I'm thinking about that.
Because you knew, you know, who knew who first? I mean, like, you knew he was discerning the priesthood first.
Yeah, and Youssef was joining the Norbertines first, though. So,
okay. We kind of, you're the Norbertine ambassador.
We've kind of been one-upping each other in different areas of our life for a while now. So.
Well, that's cool. And I do want to get to the point, to the question of why the Norbertines, because were you first thinking you'd be a diocesan priest, Andrew?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I think you've chosen wisely.
Yeah.
You know, I love the accountability. Of course, and the Norbertines have magnificent presence in Orange County, both physical presence. They make they're kind of like a weather front because they have these white sweeping roads and you know that they're there. But they also have such great orthodoxy. They're such great educators and such anchors and caretakers of our faith. Okay, so Youssef and Andrew are going to be with us for the rest of the hour to continue our conversation about their expectations upon entering the seminary next week. Maybe you have a question or a comment for either of them. I know we've got Robert on the line from Missouri, and we're going to address his comments and questions after the break. But maybe you have one and you'd like to join the conversation too. So write this number down and join it. The number is 714-282-6034. That's 714-282-6034. Maybe you are discerning right now Yusuf and Andrew would like to hear from you. And I think they would be able, your comments, your thoughts would really resonate with them. Maybe you'd like to just express your support for their choice right now. So give us a call. The number is 714-282-6034. I don't think they can take personal phone calls after they enter the Norbertine Seminary next week. So here's your chance. 714-282-6034. I'm Peggy Normandin and you're listening to Call Me Catholic on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Celebrating, exploring, and restoring our Catholic identity. This is Call Me Catholic with Peggy Normandin.
Hello, welcome back to Call Me Catholic. I am Peggy Normandin, and we're talking about the priesthood today. The good news coming from the priesthood. And that good news is sitting right next to me. Andrew Reznor and Yusef Farfan are two fine young millennial men. Sounds like a movie. Millennial man. Yeah. About to enter the seminary at St. Michael's Abbey in Orange County, California. This is, you know, the Norbertines are a very, very popular religious order in Southern California. They dress in long white robes. I often say they're like a weather front that comes onto a parish when they arrive. They're very scholarly, very orthodox. They are well-spoken. They're always very well-groomed. And these Norbertines are attracting really well-formed young men, bright and articulate. By the way, if you'd like to jump into our conversation about the priesthood, joining the seminary, maybe you're discerning a vocation yourself, maybe your son or brother are, give us a call. The number is 714-282-6034. That's 714-282-6034. Okay, boys, we're going to take our first call. Are you ready for this?
Let's do it.
Okay. Yep. Hey, Robert from Missouri, the Show Me State. Welcome to Call Me Catholic.
Thank you, Peggy. It's such a privilege to be able to talk to future seminarians.
Yes.
The question I have is, at what point in their seminary training do they decide basically what they want to do after they graduate? Or is that in the hands of someone else? And also, can they help and decide just as well as someone else, please?
That's a very good question. Who of you would like to take that? They're pointing at each other.
Go for it, Yusef.
Okay, yeah, both give a perspective. Yusef, you start.
I'll take the one who won the first race with the other one.
Who what?
Who won the first race?
Oh, that's a good idea. Oh, let's see. Who was the faster
runner?
Yusef
definitely won the first race.
Okay. Yusef, you are up at bat, man.
Excellent. All righty. Well, I kind of compare going into the seminary to going into college in a certain sense. Like, I don't know exactly all the details. Like, kind of like when I entered college, I wasn't sure when I was going to intern and all that stuff. But really quickly, I think once we do get our ordination, since we're going into an abbey of priests, the abbot, who's the head of the abbey, I'm pretty sure he decides where you're going to be helping, where you're going to go, if you're going to help teach at a school, or what your duty is going to be for the abbey.
Yeah, and I can tell you, don't be vague about that. He will decide.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think he's going to say, Yusef, you want to be in charge of the sports here at the school, or would you like to work in the parish? No, they're going to tell you. What do you think, Andrew?
Yeah, I think it depends on the community you're going to also. For the Norbertines, their obedience is a large part of your life there. And so, like Peggy and Yusef said, it's very definitive where you go, and it's based on what the abbot decides for you. Other places, you have a little bit more freedom, where you can maybe petition to your superior, whoever that is. And ultimately, the decision is theirs. But yeah, it kind of depends where you go.
Yeah, great. Great question, Robert. Thanks for calling in.
Thank you.
Okay. Well, what I can ask you is, what would you like to see? How would you see yourself serving if you could choose, if you could write your own script? Andrew, what would you see yourself doing as a priest within the Norbertine order?
Well, the Norbertines are primarily teachers, teaching at high schools and holding conferences and stuff like that. So I hope to do that too.
Okay. Yusef, yeah. Do you have any preferences?
I think
that you want to whisper in the abbot's ear.
Yeah, sure. I think I would like to go to parishes and help say mass at parishes and maybe do a little preaching, because I've been watching Bishop Robin. I follow Bishop Robert Barron, and he's a great preacher. And our formation director for this group I'm a part of, the Brotherhood of St. Dismas, that guy's a great preacher too. And I always get very inspired by those guys, and I would like to, if that's my call.
I think it is definitely going to be your call. Well, I don't think you can avoid preaching as a priest at all anyway, can you? I mean, isn't that going to be implicit in any role that you are assigned to?
Yeah, I think since the abbey is their primary duty, though, is to be monks.
That's true. Yeah.
Because since it's an abbey, then we have to be comfortable with our primary duty being praying the Liturgy of the Hours and praying the Mass with the monks. And so if the abbot's like, look, I know you want to preach and I know you have all this good stuff to say, but your duty is to stay in the abbey and
That's
pray
right.
all day and preach.
Oh, boy. That'd be hard for you.
That's a good point.
Okay, well, now let's get to the religious orders. Andrew, I know you shopped around a little bit before you settled with the Norbertines. Can you tell me a little bit about that process? Did you look at other religious orders?
Yeah, I visited two other religious orders, meaning like I spent 5 to 10 days there with them, just kind of living their life. It's called a come and see.
Mm-hmm.
So I did that with two Franciscan communities and a Norbertine community, which is they're kind of opposite in how they manifest their charism. And I visited the CFRs in New York, Friars of the Renewal.
Okay.
They were started by Father Benedict Gorshel.
Oh, yes, sure.
I think late 70s.
Yeah, rest his soul. What a powerful priest he was.
Yeah, they're really great guys. I really loved it.
How did you even know about them, Andrew?
Actually, through my spiritual director, who's a Norbertine. Okay. He steered me away from the Norbertines.
But interesting.
I ended up coming back to them.
That's reverse psychology. That's pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah, he's very good. I visited them because the large pull in my desire for priesthood included a desire for poverty, and the Franciscans are the way to do that.
Yeah, for sure.
That's one of their primary charisms is living is in poverty. So
tell them about the place you visited first, though.
I visited another Franciscan community first. That was
good.
It's called,
prompting.
It was very intense.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, discalced. So they go barefoot as often as possible.
Yeah,
unless it's like sub-zero degrees.
Then was it?
Then they pull out their sandals. But it was in.
They go into the real comfort sandals.
Yeah, they're the Franciscan Friars Minor in Indiana. They're a newer community.
Okay.
So they're small and they're getting started. It was a great visit, and it was my first exposure to religious life, and I absolutely loved it.
Yeah. So you visited both of them, but you came away thinking, not sure that's a good fit right now.
Yeah.
So then what was it about the Norbertines that appealed to you? Because they sound quite different than the Franciscans.
Yeah, I think the two kind of distinguishing factors there were the Norbertines are a very priestly order. So you enter the Norbertines to become a priest and do sacramental ministry.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Franciscans, you may enter to become a monk and not a priest. So
he's pointing at
like,
you.
Because you talked about a lay brother.
That's right. I was asking the question about the brother.
Yeah.
There you go.
So the Franciscans have both, like you can join to be either a brother or a priest. And then the Norbertines are specifically priest. And also I think the... I can't think of the second one right now, so maybe we'll come back to it.
Okay. Well, there is a definite charism to the Norbertines. I can't tell you what it is, but you feel it. You see it. You can identify them even when they're in black habit, before they're in their white habit. You were definitely attracted to the Norbertines, Youssef, and you stuck with your first choice. What was it that drew you there?
Yeah, I think I felt the call from listening to them chant the Liturgy of the Hours. That Gregorian chant, I remember when I was little, I think my dad had a Gregorian chant CD in the car, and I really liked it. Like, it was it's hauntingly beautiful music that kind of calls you.
Yeah. And it speaks to your soul. I mean, it is. It's like the language
so true
of the soul. It really is.
And I remember talking to my brother about it, and when he told me that he didn't like it, I was flabbergasted. I was like, what do you mean you don't like it? Like, what?
He was into Pearl Jam.
Great man.
Okay. Well, yeah, you're talking about your brother who ended up, he is a candidate for Navy SEALs or close to it, right?
Yeah, so Air Force PJs.
So one went into the seminary, the other went into the Air Force. Okay, we got another call from Mimi in Newport Beach. Hey, Mimi, welcome to Call Me Catholic.
Well, thank you, Peggy. I'm overjoyed to talk to you and to Andrew and Youssef.
Do you have a question for our noble young men here?
I do indeed, and it's how will your close friendship over the years be affected by entering into the same abbey and into about the same time and all? Will you have a certain freedom to share, or are you going to be separated, or how?
That's
how will
a very
that
good
work?
Question. Very good question. Thank you, Mimi.
I think we're going to either end up loving each other in the beginning, or or be forced to love each other as time passes.
Yeah.
We'll be spending a lot of time together because the Norbertines do everything in community.
They do.
So if you got anything on that?
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, I think one of the biggest benefits of going in with a good buddy is that we always push each other in prayer. And I think if that's one thing that we're going in there, that's our primary duty to do is to pray for souls, then it'll be good. We'll just continue pushing each other in prayer.
So you're not separated or cloistered or anything like that.
Chaperoned, you mean?
Well, we'll try and throw some huge parties.
Well, I mean, they're part of a very small class of nine men that are entering. So I think it would be hard to separate them. But I do think that there's a point at which, if I may interject, I asked a priest once, a Norbertine priest, I said, oh, Father, you're friends with Father Ambrose or something. And he said, we're all friends. You know, and it was very interesting. It was like, no, you know, it's not like he's my, you know, he was trying to make the distinction that once you enter into a community like that, there's an equanimity that among fellowship that, you know, and certainly you're going to have rapport with. You're probably always going to be closest to the guys you entered the seminary with.
But good question. Thank you very much. Thank you very much, and God bless you guys.
Thank you.
In our prayers.
Thank you, Mimi.
Thank you, Mimi. Yeah, that is kind of an interesting question, because I guess you that's the one worldly thing that you are bringing into the seminary with you. Everything else you have to leave behind. I mean, Yusuf was telling me the other day how he was getting rid of all his clothes. And what preparations do you have to make before you enter into the seminary?
One right off the bat was I had to fix my fake teeth, because I have some fake teeth.
Smile for the camera, Yusuf. Let everybody. Were they hurt as a child or something?
They never grew in, so I always needed to. And I don't know exactly, now that I'm going to take a vow of poverty, I don't know like what the act, I mean, I assume.
Well, they take care of those things for you.
But no, one of the more serious ones is, I guess it kind of hit me. I'm going to close my credit cards and bank accounts and all that. Sell my car.
Yeah, the so car. Isn't that? I would think that would be a very difficult thing to sort of say goodbye to.
Yeah, it's a lot of freedom you're letting, you're getting rid of, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a tough one.
You know, I know when we had to tell my mom that we'd prefer her not to drive, that was one of the hardest things for her to accept, is I can't drive anytime I want to. And it's like the last vestige of freedom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're getting rid of all your possessions. Mm-hmm. Do you have to go through, and you have to come in debt-free pretty much, don't you?
Correct, yeah.
Yeah, and so
I had to get rid of, that was a project to get rid of all the student loans, but luckily those got taken care of.
Yeah. And Yusuf, you started a business, an accounting firm.
I did.
So you had to leave that, and you had to say goodbye to your clients.
And my business partner, who is also a great guy, Mike DiBernardo, great man. But yeah, he was a very Catholic guy, and we kind of, when I was going through my conversion is when we were doing business together. So we were always talking about the faith. And I think to a certain degree, he kind of expected it because of how much it became a part of my life.
Yeah.
And now he's got the whole firm to himself. So he's
can he call you? I mean, once you're in the seminary, can he call you and say, hey, Yusuf, I have some questions. You know, what about this and what about that? And what do I do? Is he allowed to do that?
Not for the first 2 years. So we can't talk to anyone for the first 2 years. Well, yeah. Well, no,
actually,
yeah. No access to internet or anything like that for the first 2 years. And then after that, we get, I think it's a 2 week break every year, 2 weeks off.
Yes.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. So that's why I'm throwing this number out to our listeners. This is their last chance to take personal calls, almost their last chance. The number is 714-282-6034. That's 714-282-6034. We're talking with two fine young men about to enter the seminary. So guys, you'll have to give up your cell phones, right? Mm-hmm. So, when you reclaim your cell phones in 2 years, the first thing I want you to do is download the EWTN app.
I heard that's a great app.
Yes, thank you. It is. Thank you for that. He's a good straight man, that Yusuf.
They totally saw what you did there.
Yeah, they saw what I did there.
It was flawless.
Yeah, we call that a live
promo.
No, but on our phones, it's very cool to have a good Catholic app that you can use. I think I've got a couple of them. But EWTN is the go-to one. If you download that, and it's free, just go to your app store, or you can go to EWTN's website, actually, too, and download it on your phone. And then you have access to podcasts. You have all the programming information. You have some great instructional tools there on that app. And they also have some of the scriptural readings for the day there. So it's a really good resource to have. And, you know, then you can also listen to Call Me Catholic on demand whenever you want to. You can share this conversation with these two fine young men anytime you want with other people. So check it out. And you might actually see on that app programs that you didn't even know existed on EWTN because they're not in your time frame. Well, now they are. They're all there accessible on the EWTN app. So go to your app store today and give us a call. Okay. So yeah, you're going to get rid of your cell phones. What are you most, do you have any worries? I mean, do you have any little things that are nagging you that you think, I wonder how I'm going to be able to adapt to this, or I'm going to get along without living with that. Andrew, do you have anything?
I think, probably one of the most difficult things will likely be the fact that you're living so close in community with people all the time. You get very little personal time.
Yeah.
And that's part of, like, I think getting rid of your own selfish desire. Like, we all have that. Yeah.
You just, like,
yeah, exactly. So, I think that's going to be one of the hardest things for me, because right now I have a lot of freedom. So, getting rid of that will be difficult.
Do you have, I mean, have you ever had a roommate?
No.
Oh, I have not. Oh boy.
Thankfully we get our own cells there.
Welcome to a communal room. Oh, you do get your own cell.
You get your own room.
Oh, that's nice. So
it's almost like a dorm room. It's not super tiny or anything. And it's pretty much used for study and, sleeping.
Yeah.
So.
Well, there is definitely an order to the Norbertine day. At this hour you pray, at this hour you eat. Youssef, any concerns that you're bringing in? Like, I don't know how I'm going to work with that.
I do like, varying the people that I interact with. So I think it's actually the same thing, but we sometimes get together and, like, talk to people that might be outside the faith or something like that. And yeah, lacking the ability to just reach out to new people whenever we want. Mm. I think that'll be the biggest challenge.
Very interesting. Very interesting.
And family meals, actually, as well.
Share with our listeners the Norbertine behavior in terms of eating.
Oh, yeah. It's really cool. So at breakfast, if you're eating breakfast and you're not fasting, then there's no talking. And then during lunch, There's also no talking during lunch, right? As well,
I think for half a lunch,
yeah,
they do like a little.
They say all the. I think they say all the
for the potato chip portion.
Yeah.
And then once they're done reading all the people who's, like, died on that day in the martyrology, or something like that, then you can, like, start talking at that point.
Okay, and dinner.
And then dinner. There's talking during dinner.
But there's also enforced fasting.
Yeah, on Wednesdays and Fridays, I think they do the ecclesiastical fast.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you'll find out.
Yeah, one of the charisms of the Norbertine is penance, so that's part of it.
They don't look like they're suffering. I mean, they're definitely not in sackcloth and ashes. There's something about the way Norbertine priests are groomed. They always look so clean, and I like that. It's very godly. Okay, we're going to talk to Father Andy from Georgia right now. Hey, Father Andy, welcome to Call Me Catholic. What do you have to say to our future seminarians here?
Well, thanks for taking my call. I told this screener, I don't remember his name. But, you know, I just want to relay this message. Oh, Matt. I just want to relay this message. That, you know, I'm happy that there are young people, young men who are joining the seminary, especially with this, your two young guests here.
Mm-hmm.
I pray that as you continue with your discernment and your really desire to join the seminary, pray that you turn out to become, you know, real good priests. And I pray that you pray for us, priests and bishops, that we may be faithful to our commitment to the Lord.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Father.
Father,
that is very important.
Father Andy, are you a diocesan priest in Georgia?
I am. I'm not from Georgia. I'm with the AMS, actually. The Diocese for Military Services. I just happened to listen to EWTN today, and they realize that you're live, so I thought of just calling in.
Oh, good. Thank you. Well, thank you. I love hearing from a fellow priest, and I imagine it is very heartening and hopeful. It's kind of like when you've been married for 40 years and you watch a young couple, you know, approach the altar to get married. You know so much after 40 years of marriage. And you look at these expectant young faces and think, you don't know what your future is going to be. So you have to hold on very tight to each other. And so I imagine you look at these two young expectant men and think, you pray for their formation so they have the strength, and the tenacity to continue on with the same kind of enthusiasm they have today.
It is true. And, you know, to set your goal to be with God, to be with Jesus all the time, you know, that's your focus. And no matter what happens, you know, as long as your focus is how to be closer to God, how to live the life of Jesus, as he said, you know, the Son of Man came to serve and not to be served,
right.
Your life will be challenged. You know, there's always challenges, especially in the world today, in the church today. You know, we're in the midst of this very challenging issue right now.
Yes.
But as long as you are true to your commitment to the Lord, to live the life of Jesus, to serve and not to be served, you'll find out that, you know, he's always there, and he will always be there, no matter how weak we are, and, you know, we'll fall, but he'll lift us up. as long as you know you stay focused on your goal and your commitment to Him and to serve Him, to love Him, and to serve the people that will be entrusted to you,
right?
You know, in your future ministry as priests.
Well, beautiful words, Father Andy. In fact, it brings to mind a quote from Saint Jose Maria Escriva, and he said, quote, "People who say that we priests are lonely are either lying or have got it all wrong. We are far less lonely than anyone else, for we can count on the constant company of the Lord, with whom we should be conversing without interruption. We are in love with love, with the author of love." So thank you for reminding us of that message, Father Andy, and God bless you in your vocation.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye. Hey, we're going to take one. Are you ready for one more call?
Let's do it.
I think it's a friendly call. We've got Charlie on the line. Hey, Charlie. I bet you are Charlie from Seal Beach.
I am. I'm Charlie from I'm your son, Charlie.
Oh, that Charlie from Seal Beach. I'm so glad you called in. Charlie, what do you have to say to these two guys that you know so well?
Well, I'm so glad I called in, too. I'm just under the wire, and I know the show's about to end, but I just wanted to call and just say how happy I am that Youssef and Andrew chose this path. And they have nothing but support and love and prayers for me. And I just can't wait for their future and their future priest life. And I also want to give you a shout out, Peggy, Mom, because your beginning part of the show was awesome and it was really powerful and it really,
thank you.
I think it spoke to a lot of people and I think that's a powerful and a good statement to make at this point in time.
Agreed.
And yeah. It's
thank
so
you, son.
Hopeful that we have two amazing people like Andrew and Youssef that are joining the priesthood. I know them both personally and like you said earlier, I've known Youssef since preschool, so it's just so exciting. It's really... it's hard to put into words how excited I am.
Do you have any last questions for them, Charlie? Did you ask for Youssef's address book or phone number book? Get all his phone numbers. All those girls.
I did ask for that. But, I think he's going to be limited on social and interaction altogether. So.
He is. But I mean, he has to give it up before he goes in, so why don't you get it? His list of phone.
Yeah, he's got lots of ladies looking for him.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Pray for me.
Well, you two guys used to, you were altar servers together.
That's true.
We always knew one of you was going to be a priest.
Nice. I still think Charlie's got to join us.
In second grade, I think we made a quilt where you had to, draw what you wanted to be.
In the square.
In the future, in the square for the quilt. I don't know what Youssef drew, but I drew a priest.
I think he drew a Navy SEAL.
He probably drew a Navy SEAL.
I saw your idea. I was like,
a Navy
I like that.
SEAL, and you become a priest.
A nice. Great swap.
I wonder who has that quilt today. That's one of those quilts, you know, those grammar school, everybody makes a square and then they auction it off to the classroom.
Nicholas Pellegrini has that quilt.
Oh, really? We know that kid. We're coming after it.
Shouting him out.
You better grab it before he posts on eBay.
I know. I think his mother has it, actually. I'll have to ask her about it. Well, Charlie, thank you. And I know you had a really fun send-off party for Youssef with your eighth grade friends. And you invited them all to make comments, and they were all so excited to learn that Youssef was going into the priesthood. It's always good to have one of your classmates.
That was a great party, by the way. Thanks, Chuck. That was awesome.
Oh, thank you. Yes, it was a pleasure.
Okay. How did you do in the run today? You were on a run this morning, right?
I did. I did a 5K for Special Olympics, and it was awesome, and it was, I did pretty well.
Good.
You know, Youssef is the runner, though. Youssef.
Well, and Andrew, too.
And Andrew, too, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, all right.
He would have beat me.
We'll see you later today, love, okay?
Okay.
Thanks for calling in.
Guys.
Love you too. Okay, now Andrew and Youssef, you know that there are many famous people that have tried the priesthood. Tom Cruise went into the priesthood for a while, went into the seminary for a while.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then he was found stealing liquor from the monks, so they kicked him out. Yeah, yeah, true story.
They have great liquor.
it's the little old winemakers. We just wish you guys so much. We wish you the sticking power because this is the future of the church, and I was happy to open with what I opened with because I'm closing with the really super good news. And any final parting comments you want to make to out there?
Pray the rosary. That's always a big one.
We will.
Yeah.
Everybody say a rosary today for Youssef and Andrew. And I mean it. Say a rosary today for Youssef and Andrew and for their vocation and for the service that they are going to give to our church. it is the redemption we need.
Thank you very much, Peggy. Well said.
Agreed. Yeah. Thank you for having us.
Yeah. God bless you both. And thank you, listeners, for tuning in today. And I want to end with this beautiful prayer for our two young men here. Gracious and loving God, we thank you for the gift of our priests. Through them, we experience your presence in the sacraments. Help our priests to be strong in their vocation. Set their souls on fire with love for your people. Grant them the wisdom, understanding, and strength they need to follow in the footsteps of Jesus in persona Christi. Inspire them with the vision of your kingdom. Give them the words they need to spread the gospel. Allow them to experience joy in their ministry. Help them to become instruments of your divine grace. We ask this through Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns as our eternal priest. Amen. And Blessed Mother, look after these two boys. Please, I'm giving them to you, okay? Their mothers are joining our eternal mother and our Blessed Mother.
Great show today, Peggy.
Ensuring their safe arrival at the seminary. God bless you guys. And tune in next week for more good news from our good faith. Until then, I'm Peggy Normanin, but you can call me Catholic.
You've been listening to Call Me Catholic with Peggy Normanin, live from the Christ Cathedral campus in Garden Grove, California. Call Me Catholic is a co-production of EWTN Radio and Orange County Catholic Radio. Heard weekly on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.